Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. So have you ever heard the saying, facts do not care about your feelings? And it's always fun to say, right? You know, facts do not care about your feelings. And then somebody will usually give you something that they consider a fact that is actually subjective. And it's like, well, that's actually a fact that comes from your feelings, not the other way around. So I'm going to give you an example of facts, maybe not matching up with the feelings. Ian, when you watch Derrick Henry on the football field, now I know that you've seen the stats because I included them in the grid, but when you see Derrick Henry on the football field, do you see the same Derrick Henry from 2019 that led the NFL in rushing and 2020 that led the NFL in rushing and rushed for 2,000 yards?
Well, we haven't seen quite of a home run hit yet that we saw that we have.
Binary question, yay or nay?
Yeah, I guess so.
See, I would say no. I would say that, you know, he just, and I'm not saying that. Again, I think Derek is still a great back and everything else, but there's just something in me that makes me think that he was probably running a little bit faster, that maybe he had a little bit better breakaway speed, that maybe, you know, he was running the ball better in those years, and he's still running the ball well, but, I mean, there's got to be some kind of slowdown, right? Like, we're talking about a guy at age 25, 26, now we're talking about 29. I mean, there's got to be a little slowdown. He's only carried the ball 1,800 billion times over the last couple of years. But I was looking up how similar the first four games of this year would be to the first four games of the years that Derrick Henry had where he won the rushing title, again, 2019 and 2020. And I did this because I was doing, you know, a topic about his Hall of Fame candidacy and something John McClain said, which we'll get to later. But I was thinking about those kind of things, and then I remembered that Derrick Henry is notoriously a slow starter by Derrick Henry standards. And there is something about the month of October that when Derrick Henry gets going and when it gets cold outside in November and December, that's when Derrick really becomes Derrick. So I looked at the first four games. 2019, and again, the Titans started 2-2 in 2019. And it was kind of like this. They blew out Cleveland. They blew out Atlanta. They had bad offensive games with Indianapolis and Jacksonville in there. Derrick Henry carried the ball 78 times for 310 yards and averaged 3.97 yards a crack and had three touchdowns. So again, Derrick Henry averaged about 20 carries and 78 yards a game. 397 yards per carry. Derrick Henry in 2020 carried the ball a lot more. He carried it about 25 times a game, up from 20 times a game, and he averaged 94 yards a game, but only 3.72 yards per carry. So 397, now we're 372. The Titans did start that year off at 4-0, which meant that they were winning games, and thus Derrick was getting the ball a lot. So he had 101 carries compared to 78 the year before and 73 this year. Derrick is averaging 18 carries a game this year. 285 yards and a 3.9 yards per attempt. He's got two touchdowns. Per game average, Derrick Henry is averaging 71.3 yards per game. Again, in 2019, won the rushing title. Through the first four games, he averaged 78 yards a game. A difference of 7 yards. Derrick had three touchdowns at this point in 2019. He's got two touchdowns so far this year, and he's got a passing touchdown. Kind of like 2019. Derrick averaged 3.97 yards per attempt. In 2019, he's averaging 3.90. Over the course of a 17-game season, Derrick Henry would have averaged in 2019 through the first four games, 1,318 yards. He would have averaged 1,598 yards in 2020 and 1,211 this year. Guys, he's same back. The difference is he's not touching the ball as much, which in large part goes to the fact that, you know, they played that Cleveland game where they just couldn't run. And so when they couldn't run, you're not going to keep giving him the ball when you're down. And you know me, I wanted to go run, 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 punt. The Titans had different plans. And we'll never know if my plan would have worked, but we know their plan didn't work against Cleveland. But I mean, isn't it obvious when you give the ball to Derek, you win? And see, this is what I think happens. And again, my feeling is that Derek isn't necessarily the same back that he was in 19 and 20. But the facts say that he is very similar to where he was in 2019 and in 2020. But what I think happens is this. The Titans go into the season with a hope and a plan for balance. Everybody wants to be balanced on offense. Nobody goes into training camp wanting to throw the ball 70 times a game. Even the teams that throw the ball all over the yard. The Kansas City Chiefs want to run the ball. They might not, but they want to. That's why Aaron Rodgers had Aaron Jones. It's also why he wanted Dalvin Cook this year. We want to run the ball. But then what happens throughout the course of the year is, as is the case right now with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chris Moore, the guys who play well end up playing more, and the guys who play great end up getting the ball more often. Again, these coaches, they go in with ideas into the season. That's why in college football, where there's no preseason, we see them, you know, try to figure out the quarterback in the first couple of games. They got 100 practices leading into it, but they can't decide because you can't simulate what a game is. So the Titans go into every year with a hope for balance and with an idea of what they want to do. And then as the season progresses, they realize, eh, we're better off when we give the ball to Derek a bunch. Tim Kelly went into the first game thinking about balance, which is why Tajay Spears played 50-something percent of the snaps and Derrick Henry played 48% of the snaps. We want balance. So on the passing plays, we want Spears in there. On the running plays, we want Derrick. But we want balance. Then after the Saints game, he realized, I probably should give the ball to Derrick Henry more. And he gave it to him 25 times, and they won. The math is simple. If you give Derrick the ball, you win. It is as simple as it can be. And again, facts do not care about your feelings. So you may look at me with the data and you may say, well, what are you supposed to do when it comes to giving the ball to Derrick Henry in this game where he's averaging a whatever yards per carry or you're down and you're chasing the game? And I don't know. All I can tell you is that for the last 5 years, when you have given the ball to Derrick Henry consistently, you have won. When you say, we're going to give it to him 20 times, and you find a way to give it to him 20 times, you win. And every year the Titans go into the offseason, and they try to help the passing game out. Every year, we're going to trade for Robert Woods. We're going to add Julio Jones. We're going to be more balanced this year. We're going to throw it more. We're going to set it. We're going to, and by week four, they've realized the best offense for the team is running the ball with Derek, and as we all learned on Sunday, faking the ball to Derek. That's your best offense. It's been that way for the last 5 years. And so Derek Henry is right on track for another Derek Henry-like season. And the Titans, just like all these other years, are figuring it out their own way of, yeah, you know, we wanted to have a stronger passing attack, but when we try to do that, I don't know why, but we lose. And so they just go ahead and give the ball to Derek. And that's what's going to happen this year. It's already happening. Sunday was an obvious tale. They gave the ball to Derek. Derek ran well. That gives them more confidence to give the ball to Derek, so they'll continue to do so. Then they operated out of play action. Then the offense started rolling. Now they're playing a defense which struggles against the run because the Rams, with their generic running backs, ran it right up the tush on them. And the Titans will do the same thing on Sunday with Derek Henry. And Derek will get 20-something carries, and you'll probably win, because when you give it to Derek 20-something times, you probably win. And then Vrabel will get asked all the questions that he's been asked over the years about, do you think 28 carries is too many for Derek? What do you do with Derek? It doesn't matter. But he's the same Derek Henry. And if it's not broken, don't fix it. The Titans have tried. But what you got out of Tajay Spears right now, this is not the first time the Titans have tried to do that. Remember Darrington Evans? Matt LaFleur came in and he wanted to be the Rams. And Deion Lewis started getting more snaps than Derrick Henry. They've tried this. What happens is, because nobody wants to be a team that only runs the ball. The problem is that for the Titans to throw the ball, they have to run the ball to set up the passing game. But every year, they go into an AFC Championship game, they lose to Kansas City. Okay, well, we can't play like this. We're going to have to throw the ball more. We're going to, you know what, just give Derek the ball. That's what this becomes every year, and this year's no different. They're going to give the ball to Derek 25 times a game, and Derek's going to keep running at that 3.9 yards a cut. I mean, I think it's incredible that in 2019, Derek was 397 a carry. Now, they had to play Jacksonville early in the season, and they had some offensive line problems, and Jacksonville, you know, defensively with Calais Campbell in that group, they were pretty good. So maybe those two kind of cancel each other out with the Cleveland game. But the fact that Derek is only 0.07 yards behind his 2019 average is pretty incredible. So as much as it feels different, the facts say he's the same old Derrick Henry. So if he's the same old Derrick Henry, why would you not run the same old give the ball to Derrick Henry offense? 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in on this. 615-737-1025. And I have another theory about Derrick Henry and his success running the football and the similarities and the way the season plays out and everything else. And I want to get to that coming up next because it is a completely subjective thought. And we'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025 here on the program. 615-737-1025. Be sure to join us tomorrow because DraftKings Sports and Social, the most epic sports watching experience in town, is opening downtown on 2nd Avenue. And Stillman & Company will be there live from 2 to 6. DraftKings Sports and Social features a massive state-of-the-art 33-foot LED screen and their world-famous menu and signature curated cocktails. That's tomorrow. Stillman & Company, 2 to 6, the grand opening of the DraftKings Sports and Social downtown on 2nd Avenue.
This offense right now feeling its rhythm. 20-plus on 4 of the last 6 plays. The explosiveness they've been looking for. Speaking of explosiveness, Derrick Henry in open field. Derrick Henry's gone. Vintage King Henry for 29 yards and a touchdown. Well, this is called swing gate right here. When you come up the field, you create different levels. Up the field too far, look at the level right there, and then King Henry, little stiff arm, that's what he's known for, and then that long speed, Adam, his ability to just get going. Once he rolls, ain't nobody catching that 250-pound beast.
Derrick Henry, that was the run the other day. The difference on average between 2019, where Derrick won the rushing title in his first 4 games, and the first 4 games this year, again, 1,318 yards on average after the first 4 games through 17, and 1,211. So you're talking about a difference of 107 yards for the season difference between how he ran the first 4 games of 2019 and the first 4 games this year. He's the same Derek. And that run was an example. He never hits the home run. He hit that one. And I have a theory that there's no way to prove. And even if the Titans thought this theory might be true, they'd never tell you. But everybody always says Derrick Henry's a slow starter. And I remember Nick Saban one time, I think, told the morning show that he didn't really have an explanation for it. But the more that Derrick Henry touched the ball, the better he played. And I've always kept that in mind. But we've always seen in September, you know, Derek has a 100-yard game here, and he's got, but really it's, you know, 72, 54, 85. And then as you get into October and November, that's where the 174, 198, like that's where those games start to show up, which are the games that make Derek the rushing champion. But what if it's not Derek that's the slow starter? You know, before the Titans played the Saints, I talked on Robbie and Rex Road about how the defense was going to have to win them the game because it was going to take time for the offense to get squared away, specifically the offensive line. It's going to take time for the play caller to really realize what he's got. It's going to take time for the quarterback to get comfortable getting hit and to know which receivers he trusts and which ones he doesn't. And remember, the Titans in 2019 had to play Jameel Douglas at right guard for the first couple of games of the season. Think about this offensive line. Total disarray. Right tackle suspended. Left guard has an appendectomy. Left tackle sucks. And all of a sudden, now that there's some consistency, now that there's some real hitting once a week, now that there's some more scheming, now, oh, wow, look at these holes. The Titans realize, yeah, we can't just throw Trevon Wesco out there on every running play. Let's try Josh Wiley to see if maybe that'll surprise the defense a little bit. And it did. So maybe Derek's not the slow starter. See, the way the NFL works nowadays, you can't practice like you used to. Like what Mike Vrabel probably talks to the team, and he probably sounds like an old P-pop when he does this. Now, lucky for him, he's got Nick Folk on the team who played, I think, through some of these days. But get Derek Mason or Chris Sanders going on what practice was like for them in training camp compared to what practice is now. I mean, now it's like, you know, 10 padded practices over the course of the season. Back then, it was two-a-days, and, you know, the Patriots decided not to come here for practice because it was too hot outside. Back then, they used to have the mentality of, good, makes us tougher out here. The NFL didn't change until Corey Stringer of the Vikings died. Then all of a sudden, mandatory water breaks became a thing. Light-colored jerseys, heat warnings, let's practice in the morning and set. That kind of changed things. And in every collective bargaining agreement, the owners, who don't want to give up any money, are fine with giving up practice time. In fact, not the last CBA, but the one before that, where they had the lockout in 2011, a bunch of coaches raised all kinds of hell because of how many off-season padded practices and training camp padded practices and everything else that it restricted. And these coaches were like, how are we supposed to get these guys ready for the season? And the owners didn't care. Because the owners want Thursday night football. The owners want seven teams in the playoffs. The owners want more playoff games. The owners want a 17th game. So the owners will trade practice in order to get more revenue for the games. In fact, they cut a preseason game, which is pretty important because, you know, that's what, 25 snaps maybe your offensive line gets to play? But they don't care. So, again, this is just a theory I'm just throwing out there that maybe it's not Derrick Henry that's the slow starter. Maybe it's the offensive line. And I do believe that the Titans right now probably feel better about their offensive line and working around the problems that they have with their offensive line than they did at the beginning of the season where it was, well, let's see if Dillard can do this. Now, I am hearing that, you know, Peter Skoronski is going to be a game-time decision on Sunday. Just word on the street. And hopefully they get him back sooner rather than later. Texter into the text line says, Arthur Smith, and our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Arthur Smith is a head coach because he understood to give the ball to Derrick Henry. With this Titans offense and Tannehill under center, you have to run Derrick. And if you don't, Tannehill will throw three interceptions and he will blow it. Can I ask you this question, though? How many quarterbacks out there can really survive without the run? Most quarterbacks need a running game. And I would say that every young quarterback absolutely has to have a running game if you want to bring the young quarterback along. Like, if I'm the Texans, I'm making sure we're giving Damian Pierce the ball, because the last thing I want to do is make C.J. Stroud throw it 55 times if you've got a young quarterback. And with Tannehill, you absolutely have to give him the running game. And if you give him the running game, he'll be successful. Texter says, so Tannehill is a symptom, and now it's not Henry's fault that he's a slow starter, so he's a symptom. Jared has built-in excuses for any time his favorite players are performing poorly, except that Henry is not performing poorly. My point is, if Derrick Henry gets better throughout the course of every season and runs the ball better, is it really Derrick Henry? Is it Derrick Henry that's the problem? Or is it the guys in front blocking for Derrick Henry? Now, the Tom Brady documentary focuses on each Super Bowl that he went to, and they go over that season, and they have, you know, Brady and a couple of other guys that talk about the season and kind of behind the scenes and everything else. And Drew Bledsoe is on the first edition of the Brady documentary. Vrabel is in the Brady documentary on one of the episodes, where I think where they talk about winning the third Super Bowl. But Bledsoe's on the first one. And Bledsoe said that when he got into the huddle on the first day of training camp and saw the offensive line that they had, he thought, we've got a chance to be pretty good. The offensive line matters. And I think in today's society, of the way the NFL works, it takes time in order to get your line right, unless you've got a line that's been playing together for years. But I wonder right now, if you put Derrick Henry behind the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line, is Derrick 3.9 yards a carry, or is Derrick more like 4.1 yards a carry, which would be better than Derrick throughout the first four games of either of the two rushing title seasons? In fact, Derrick is running for more yards per carry right now than he did in 2020 when he won the rushing title and ran for 2,000 yards. So don't make this about me building up excuses for Derrick Henry. Think of this more as, well, maybe Derrick is always good, and when they give him some blocking, he becomes great. Because we saw what Derrick looks like with no blocking against the Browns when Derrick had more yards after contact than he had yards last week. I don't know if this is true or not. One texter says, just playing devil's advocate, but I believe Tannehill's stats were better on straight passing plays versus play action last week, but I agree with what you're saying. Most of the straight passing plays last week were kind of the quick man beaters. The play-action passes were the big shots down the field. That, you know, those were the play-action passes. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So speaking of Derrick Henry, we had a caller call in wondering if Derrick Henry was the greatest player in the history of the Oilers-Titans franchise after breaking Earl Campbell or passing Earl Campbell on the all-time rushing list. And I told the caller, I said, look, I cannot tell you about the Oilers because I didn't watch the Oilers. You know, I wasn't alive when Robert Brazil or Elvin Bethea played. You know, Warren Moon, I was alive during Warren Moon, but I don't remember Warren Moon. And then there's offensive linemen like Munchak and Matthews that are all in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I said, the guy that would be able to answer this for you is John McClain. And John McClain was on with Chase and Joe this morning, and they asked him about where Derrick Henry ranks. And I found his answer to be fascinating. Not just where he would put him or how he'd rank it or whatever, but his explanation, I thought, it was one of those ones where it almost raised more. Like, if you had just asked John, you know, hey, do you, you know, who's better, Derrick Henry or Earl Campbell? And he just gave you a one-word answer. His explanation actually made me think, whoa. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
You kind of talked about Earl kind of admiring maybe the legacy he left. How cool is it to pass him and maybe get recognized, I guess, in game?
Yeah, I'm thankful, I'm blessed. Grateful for everything, grateful for this opportunity. You know, I was a kid just, you know, that loved football, playing in my grandmother's yard in Yulee, Florida, and, you know, my opportunity to get a chance to play Pop Warner and moving up and up and up as the older I got, and to be missing with a name that I've heard so long as a kid, you know, it's a surreal moment for me. I'm thankful. God is good, and I'm thankful for the people that helped me get there.
Derrick Henry passing Earl Campbell on the all-time Titans rushing leaderboard, which, as I said on Monday, that is not nothing. That is a big freaking deal because Earl Campbell was the man. And so that is a big deal that Derrick Henry's passing Earl Campbell. And every time that I, you know, see stats like that or something, I just think to myself, oh, what would have happened if Matt LaFleur had used Derrick Henry correctly in 2018? What would have happened if Derrick Henry hadn't broken his foot in 2021? And I know there's no crying over spilt milk, but a caller called in on Monday and said, you know, with Derrick Henry passing Earl Campbell on the all-time rushing list, is Derrick Henry the best player in Titans Oilers history? And I was like, well, I mean, I can tell you right now, Derrick Henry's the best player in the history of the Titans. Better than Steve McNair, better than Eddie George. And I think those two are usually synonymous with the best Titans of all time, and I watched them, and I loved them, and I cheered for them, and I'm telling you right now, Derrick Henry's better than both of them, which tells you how much respect I have for Derrick Henry. But as far as the Oilers, what am I supposed to know about what Robert Brazil or Elvin Bethea or Earl Campbell or any of those guys? I didn't cover them. I don't know. And I said, look, Chase and Joe are going to talk to John McClain on Wednesday, as they always do at 9:30, and John would have a good idea. So Chase set it up for John, and he asked him, you know, where, you know, how would you rank this with Derrick Henry having passed Earl Campbell? How would you kind of rank the great players of Oiler Titans history?
There'll never be any player better than Earl Campbell. What he did here, came out first 3 years, led the league in rushing, led them to the playoffs 3 years, got them to the AFC Championship game, one step short of the Super Bowl 2 years in a row, and they lost in the AFC Championship game to Pittsburgh. And he did it, and he had another 1,300-yard season. There in 1983, there was a strike year. In 1982, they only played nine games. But Earl is the greatest player in Houston, in franchise history, Houston history. You know, he started like a house on fire, and Henry didn't. And then Henry picked. When we had a Houston Sports Hall of Fame, first three people we put in were Earl Campbell, Nolan Ryan, and Hakeem Olajuwon, because we think they're the best in our three sports. But people in Nashville, of course, are going to say Derrick Henry.
So I'm not trying to argue for Derrick Henry over Earl Campbell because I didn't watch Earl Campbell play. But I found John's answer fascinating, where John said those first 3 years for Earl Campbell, he was on fire and he led the team in, he led the league in rushing and he led the team to the playoffs and he got him to the AFC Championship game. And I heard that and I thought, well, Derrick Henry for a 3 year period, 19, 20, and then 21 when he broke his foot, Derrick Henry led this team to the playoffs, led the league in rushing, led them to the AFC Championship game, basically led them to the number one seed, because when Derrick Henry got hurt, the Titans had wrapped up the AFC South. So to talk about Earl Campbell and say, hey, you know, Derrick didn't get started from the jump. Well, remember, they had DeMarco Murray here, and I'll never forget Mike Mularkey telling me when I asked him why Derrick didn't play more when they had DeMarco Murray. And he said, well, how did Derrick Henry do at Alabama? I said, he was great. He said, how much did he play as a freshman? I said, he didn't play a lot. He goes, okay. So I can't hold that against Derrick, that it took Derrick some time to get going, because the only reason it took Derrick some time to get going is because the Titans had DeMarco Murray, who led the AFC in rushing. And then when DeMarco Murray got hurt, Derrick Henry went into the playoffs, ran for 155 yards, beat the Chiefs. So again, I'm not arguing against Earl Campbell in this Earl Campbell, Derrick Henry kind of thing. But I do find it fascinating to say, well, Earl led the league in rushing in 78, 79, and 80, and they got to two AFC championship games. And the only reason that they didn't get to a Super Bowl is because they ran into those Steeler teams with Terry Bradshaw and the Steel Curtain and Franco Harris. And, well, you ran into Mahomes. Like, that's why you didn't win, because you ran into Mahomes. So, you know, those first 3 years, Earl Campbell was unstoppable. And Derrick led the league in rushing for 2 years, and that third year he got hurt where he was leading the league. And Derrick was leading the league in rushing by such a wide margin that it was like 3 weeks after he had broken his foot before somebody passed him. And that's why I felt so sick to my stomach when Derrick broke his foot. Because I knew if he wins a third rushing title, there is no way he's not making it to the Hall of Fame. You win three rushing titles and you've got two 2,000-yard seasons, you're making it to the Hall of Fame. And now, I have to be honest with you, I think that, you know, Derrick Henry's the kind of guy. Would I vote for Derrick Henry in the Hall of Fame? Absolutely. But Derrick's the kind of guy who 5 years might be kind of forgotten. They may use like certain things against him that aren't necessarily his fault, like the fact that DeMarco Murray played those first 2 years over Derrick Henry. But those 3 years that Earl Campbell had and those 3 years that Henry had, where the Titans won two divisions and got to an AFC championship game and had a number one seed in the AFC, and Derrick won the rushing title twice and he ran for 2,000 yards, sounds kind of similar. So maybe Derrick really is up there. And again, I'm not arguing for Derrick over Earl Campbell, because I never watched Earl Campbell play. But I know Earl Campbell was a bad boy. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Texter says, I grew up in Houston during Love Ya Blue and have been in Nashville for almost 20 years. Earl Campbell is without a doubt the most talented and prolific offensive skill player in the franchise, particularly relative to what was happening during his era in the NFL. It was a different game then. Earl Campbell earned his gold jacket and should be revered as one of a handful of the best Oilers Titans ever. Well, don't you think, though, that like Derrick Henry should be in the discussion for one of the best Oilers Titans ever? I mean, again, how many players that played for the Titans or Oilers that were primarily Titans or Oilers are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Warren Moon, Earl Campbell, Mike Munchak, Bruce Matthews, Robert Bazile, Elvin Bethea, and I'm trying to figure out if Dan Pastorini is in the Hall of Fame. And I don't think he is, and I don't think Ken Houston is, and I don't think, you know, any of those wide receivers like, you know, Hayward Jeffries or Ernest Givens or Billy White Shoes Johnson, I don't think any of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. I mean, I think it's just that group. Well, again, I think Derrick is the best Tennessee Titan ever. So then Derrick would be in the same conversation. I'm not saying Earl Campbell didn't earn his goal. I didn't watch Earl Campbell. I saw the Earl Campbell documentary, and Earl Campbell was a bad boy. But I lived through Derrick Henry. And Derrick Henry was, and I don't know if you guys saw the game on Sunday, but is still a bad boy. Wes in Clarksville says, I was on vacation when Derrick Henry broke his foot and it ruined my vacation. This is a true story. So the night the Titans played the Colts in Indianapolis, just like they're playing them this week in Indianapolis, And it was game five of the World Series. So the Braves had won games 3 and 4, and my dad and I were in Atlanta. We're going to game five. The Braves are up 3-1 in the World Series. And my dad and I, and, you know, one of my best friend's dad, who's also a huge Braves fan, we went to a Dave and Buster's in Marietta, where they put the Titans and the Colts on the big screen for us because we were the only people that were in the Dave and Buster's. And there was like one other guy who every time they hand the ball off to Derrick Henry would go, "Go King, go King, go King," every time. And I don't even think he was a Titans fan. But so they put on this giant movie theater screen for us to watch the Titans beat the Colts in overtime. And I remember walking back into the hotel thinking to myself, the Braves are up 3-1 in the World Series and are probably going to close it out tonight. And the Titans, they were something like 6-2 and had just basically won the division. And even though they didn't play well, they still won the game, which is the hallmark of a good team. I'm like, the sports gods have never been this good to me. Something is wrong. And I remember walking into the hotel thinking, man, the sports gods are on my side. And then the Braves lost. Now, they ended up winning the World Series, so that was great. But we're driving back after the Braves lost Game 5, and my dad's driving. I'm sitting in the passenger seat, and I'm kind of laying backwards in the seat, kind of, you know, catching a little shut-eye. We had Robbie and Rex Road on. They had Corey Curtis on. And Robbie just goes, "We've got breaking news. Adam Schefter's reporting Derrick Henry out for the season with a foot injury." And I was like, oh, no, there we go. I knew the sports gods were going to do me wrong. So I understand the sentiment. More of your phone. 615-737-1025. We continue. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
How happy are you for Derrick to pass Earl Campbell and come and win, obviously?
Yep. We're always happy for our players when they have success, and you know how important Derrick is to this franchise and this team and me and everybody else. So told him, told the Buckeye Eddie George that Derrick's coming for him.
There you go. That was Vrabel after the game. And, you know, I would say this. I do wonder, you know, with Vrabel, and I'm not going to tell you who was at the press conference because I didn't ask him if I could say this or not, but they said Mumbling Mike was up at the podium today, which it sounds like Mumbling Mike was at the podium today, which means he's got a tight rear end about this Colts game. And with Vrabel during the season and things like that, there's never a moment to sit there and say, like, hey, you played in the NFL for a long time, and you appreciate the history of the game. What do you make of the fact that what you get to see is passing Earl freaking Campbell? Because my guess is Vrabel has, like, honestly a pretty insightful take on it. But he's not going to give it to you because we're going to focus on the Colts and we're going to get to that. Texter says, all this talk about how great Derrick Henry is makes me even more pissed about how the Titans have handled the offensive line. They're robbing us of watching his greatness because he's getting hit before he even gets the ball half the time. They are ruining his chances for the Hall of Fame. Let me say this. Derrick Henry ran for 2,000 yards in a year in which the Titans' offensive line had no off-season program because of COVID. No preseason games. And David Quessenberry as the starting left tackle. The thing about Derrick, and Sunday's game is a crazy example of this, he can run with a bad line. He just can't run with no line. He can run with a bad line. I mean, last year, they went into that last game with the playoffs on the line against Jacksonville with a third-string quarterback and with Dennis Daly at left tackle, Aaron Brewer at left guard, Corey Levin at center, Jordan Roos at right guard, and Nicholas Petit-Ferrer at right tackle. Jacksonville knows the only way Tennessee's going to win the game is if Derrick Henry goes in there and runs them out of the building. And Derrick still had over 100 yards. Derrick, I mean, to me, I think you've just got to embrace. Now, I understand, you know, if they had the Dallas Cowboys offensive line from the 90s, you know, with Nate Newton and Flo Zell, the Hotel Adams, and that group, you know, what would that look like? I agree. But I would say that, you know, Derrick Henry is He'll still run the ball well. Like, we should enjoy what we're getting to watch. The one thing that drives me crazy, you know, when we talked about these people out there that want to bench Tannehill every time the Titans lose, which is ridiculous. But the people that are like, you know, I don't want to win with Henry anymore. We can't win in the playoffs with a ready man. We can't. Let me say this. The second Derrick Henry retires, and that moment will probably come sooner rather than later. And I hope it doesn't, but all good things must come to an end. The second Derrick Henry retires, for like the next 8 years after Derrick Henry leaves, we'll be watching regular run-of-the-mill running backs, and we'll be thinking to ourselves, God, remember when they could just hand the ball to Derrick Henry? I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. Like, I am certain of it. Texter says, for Derek to make it to the Hall of Fame, I think he has to pass Eddie George. I can't see another 2,000-yard season, which would make it automatic. I agree. I think Derek's going to pass Eddie George. Knock on wood. I think Derek's going to pass Eddie George. I think Derek Henry will be the running back of the Titans next year, even if Tannehill's not the quarterback. I think Derek Henry will be the running back of the Titans. Texter said, according to Pro Football Focus, and you know how I feel about Pro Football Focus, Derrick Henry was hit on average 7 feet behind the line of scrimmage against the Browns. Just crazy. Now, this texter brings up a great point. It says, all this praise about Derrick Henry going to that Indianapolis turf is making me nervous. Please knock on wood. And I did just knock on wood, but, whoo, boy, that Indy turf, Indy itself, Texter says, I hate the debate about the Titans and Oilers. Derrick Henry is the greatest Titan Oiler. The level of competition compared to today versus back in the 80s is incomparable. Athletes today are unreal, and the old folks saying back in my day are crazy. Now, yes and no, right? Like, that's that J.J. Redick, you know, Jerry West and Bob Cousy were playing against plumbers argument. I think everything has to be in the context of greatness for when you played. And there's no doubt about it that Earl Campbell was a great running back when he played. But see, what's crazy is, and I can't tell you about Earl Campbell one way or another because, again, I didn't live, you know, during Earl Campbell's peak. But I did live through Eddie George, and I am living through Derrick Henry, and I don't even think it's close how Eddie was the best player on a very good Titans team and was kind of the heart and soul of the organization for a period of time. But, like, it didn't feel like they got to the Super Bowl because of Eddie George. And it didn't feel like they were 13-3 because of Eddie George. But when I think about the run to the AFC title game in 2019 or the divisions the last couple of years, I mean, I really feel like Derrick Henry's the reason why the Titans win these games. Like, Derrick Henry is the reason. And I never felt that way about Eddie George. I was actually thinking this in my head today. Like, where does Derrick Henry rank in the NFL if you were to just rank the best players since Tom Brady left the Patriots? So I feel like, you know, that, like, that's kind of the chapter of a closed chapter of an era. Brady leaves the Patriots. Since then, who are the best players in the NFL? Mahomes, Aaron Donald, Kelsey. I mean, Derek's got to be up there, right? And I'm sure, like, I do not go to the text line to throw names out there because we're not getting into this. But, I mean, how many guys are ahead of Derrick Henry over the last 4 years? Just in terms of, you know, how good they are, what they provided their team. How many guys are there? Like, guys that have won as much as Derrick, that have carried their organization as much as Derrick, have won big games for their team as much as Derrick. There's really not that many guys. Right? Like, and then I think about some of these NFC teams, and I think they're probably certainly up there. You know, Devontae Adams, Aaron Rodgers are probably up there. But, I mean, Derek has had a special, you know, He's been a dominant player in this league. Like, he's been, you know, one of the elite of the elites. And he's still doing it. 615-737-1025. I have got to give Titan fans some serious credit. Because there's one thing that I have felt this entire week. And I want to get to that next. Because I think it's very important for the team to feel the same way as the fans going to the Indy game. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, right here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.